This is chapel for February 14th, 1962. Dr. Shriver is leading the service with Jim Moore and Jim Pogue reading.
The good news according to Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 5th verse. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And in praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. May we pray together the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power. The Swiss reformer Zwingli, in his work entitled On True and False Religion, does not begin his work by exposing those religions outside the Christian pale which he would call false. He does not refer then by his term false religion to heathen or pagan religions. Rather, he refers to what he considers to be false expressions of the Christian religion. Just as Zwingli exposes those false expressions of the Christian religion, so there might also be an exposé made of false prayer. In fact, very appropriately, there could be written, presumably, a work entitled On True and False Prayer, not considering the prayer outside the Christian pale, but rather referring to false forms within the church. As there is a false expression of religion, then, so there is a false expression of prayer. So there is a degenerate expression of prayer. Now, we certainly do not consider Zwingli or anyone else who writes about true and false religion, we do not consider him or anyone else as ridiculing the true expression of Christianity. So if a work were entitled On True and False Prayer, It would not be a case of ridiculing prayer if false prayer is exposed. Only the false form of prayer would thus be exposed and therefore set in bold relief. In fact, the most telling critique of false prayer was made by our Lord himself, and I have read a portion of his critique. A contemporary work by David Head is entitled, He Sent Leanness. This work may very well have been entitled, On True and False Prayer. The intent of the book is expressed on the book jacket and reads as follows. Great issues depend on prayer, a recognition of the need, the dire need of prayer. And most of us are rightly dissatisfied with both our understanding and our practice of it. But what is the best way for us to face our leanness? One thing we should do is look at the prayers we actually pray, whether confidently with our lips or hesitantly in our hearts. Prayers are not perfect just because they are prayers. There is false religion as well as true. Our prayers will show us which kind of religion is ours, for they will reveal to us what we are. When we examine them, we may find that what we need is not so much help with our prayers as help with ourselves. Here then is a book of prayers with a difference. It invites us to eavesdrop on our times of prayer, to examine the things we ask for and desire. It encourages us to laugh at ourselves, for the devil flees from laughter. It uncovers some of the false images and wrong attitudes in which we are all apt to indulge. And in revealing to us ourselves, it brings us before the living God. Also on the book jacket is a comment by one whose interpretation and translation of the Bible has thrilled all of us, the New Testament interpretation, that of J.B. Phillips. He has this to say of David Head's work. This is a most amusing little book, but of course it is far more than that. Even while it makes us laugh, it exposes with uncanny insight many of our secret wishes and unexpressed desires. To have these rather disreputable voices expressing themselves in prayer is a shocking thing. But it is quite right that we should be shocked. We cannot deny the clamor of these inward voices, and until we realize their strength, we cannot do much effective praying as Christians. I hope a lot of people laugh at and think about the pages of this stimulating exposure of the hypocrite in us all. One section of David Head's work, which could be entitled On True and False Prayer, but which is entitled He Sent Leanness, is a litany of the natural man. Here, as Phillips has stated, is an exposure of the hypocrite in us all.
O God, we have considerable doubts in our minds about the way you are running the universe.
Is there any chance that you will show your mercy to us, O Lord?
We see all kinds of things in the world that do not please us.
Do you think you could do something about it, O God?
The psychologists tell us that our nagging doubts about your goodness burrow into the subconscious mind and spit poison.
Isn't this a bit unfair, O Lord?
From a universe where things can be extremely unpleasant,
Deliver us, good Lord.
From everything that calls from us courage and endurance.
Deliver us, good Lord.
From all ignorance, insecurity, and uncertainty.
Deliver us, good Lord.
From all personal needs that give the love of others a chance to find expression.
Deliver us, good Lord.
From suffering the balloon of our pride to be pricked. From suffering the castle of our self-satisfaction to be attacked. From suffering the thunder of our egotism to be stilled.
Deliver us, good Lord.
From all vicissitudes and deprivations that throw us back upon you.
Deliver us, good Lord.
We sinners do hope against hope that you will pay just a little attention to our prayers, and that it may please you to get on with your business and do the best you can for us.
We beg you on our knees, as far as the pews will allow, O Lord.
That it may please you to bring good to us and not evil, and that you will be on the side of light rather than darkness.
We beg you on our knees, O Lord.
That it may please you to rule and govern your holy church universal in the right way.
We beg you on our knees, O Lord.
Hear us, O Lord.
Be yourself, O Lord.
We citizens of the world do beseech you that the standard of living of our country may approximate more and more closely to that of the United States.
You can do all things, O God.
We sinners do pray that our national income may be enough to produce a sufficiency of nuclear weapons, maintain the welfare state, and leave a little over for Commonwealth countries.
You can do all things, O God.
We miserable owners of increasingly luxurious cars and ever-expanding television screens do most humbly pray for that 2/3 of the world's population which is undernourished.
You can do all things, O God.
We who seek to maintain a shaky civilization do pray most earnestly that the countries which suffer exploitation may not be angry with the exploiters, that the hungry may not harbor resentment against those who have food, that the downtrodden may take it patiently, that nations with empty larders may prefer starvation to communism, that the have-not countries may rejoice in the prosperity of those that have, and that all people who have been deeply insulted and despised may have short memories.
You can do all things, O God.
We who prosper through the work and patience of others pray that we may have the sense not to drive them too far.
You can do all things, O God.
We pray that our statesmen may do everything they can to promote peace, so long as our own national history and honor and pride and prosperity and superiority and sovereignty are maintained.
You can do all things, O God.
That the sick may be visited, the prisoner cared for, the refugee rehabilitated, the naked clothed, the orphan housed, and that we may be allowed to enjoy our own firesides evening by evening in peace.
You can do all things, O God.
O Son of God, we beg, we beseech, we supplicate, we petition, we implore you to hear us.
Lord, be good to us. Christ, make things easy for us. Lord, deliver us from the necessity of doing anything.
Let us pray. O God, you see that we live in a world of toil and travail, with the vague possibility that there might be something worthwhile at the end of it. We pray you to take from man the embarrassing gift of free will that makes possible the fall, and makes possible the fall of every man. Grant that we may all become unself-conscious parts of one vast universal factory, where everything works by automation according to the press-button activity of the one divine will.
O Lord, arise. Give up this awful experiment of making men like Christ.
O God, we have heard all kinds of things about waters parting, and manna falling, and the sun standing still, and fire descending upon altars.
O Lord, nothing like this seems to happen anymore. And although we see some sense in the uniformity of nature, we wish you could still see your way to making an occasional exception when it affects us personally.
Don't let anyone say nasty things about us.
May all men speak well of us.
Don't let our witness for Christ make things awkward for us.
Let it be the aim of our life not to do anybody any harm.
Don't let our neighbors go one better than us.
Keep us respectable, whatever our thoughts are, O Lord.
Almighty God, there are so many uncertain factors in life. We pray that we may be a little more certain of you. We ask you to be good to us sometimes, to bless us now and again, to give us in some small way an occasional release from our doubts and worries. We believe that there are times, even if not frequent, when we deserve your blessing. Do not let us down. Amen.
May we pray together, and John Bailey from his diary of private prayer will lead us in his words. Blessed be thou, most gracious God, that again thou hast brought light out of darkness and caused the morning to appear. Blessed be thou that thou dost send me forth in health and vigor to the duties and doings of another day. Go with me, I beseech thee, through all the sunlit hours, and so protect me from every evil way that when evening comes, I need not hide my head in shame. O thou who hast so graciously called me to be thy servant, I would hold myself in readiness today for thy least word of command. Give me the spirit, I pray thee, to keep myself in continual training for the punctual fulfillment of thy most holy will. Let me keep the edges of my mind keen. Let me keep my thinking straight and true. Let me keep my passions in control. Let me keep my will active. Let me keep my body fit and healthy. Let me remember him whose meat it was to do the will of him that sent him. O Lord of the vineyard, I beg thy blessing upon all who truly desire to serve thee by being diligent and faithful in their several callings, bearing their due share of the world's burden, and going about their daily tasks in all simplicity and uprightness of heart. For all who tend flocks are till the soil. For all who work in factories are in mines. For all who buy and sell in the marketplace. For all who labor with their brains. For all who labor with their pens. For all who tend the hearth, dear Lord, I pray. Amen. We ask that thou wouldst keep us honest in all our relationships with thee and with our fellow men. In Jesus' name we pray.